The following podcast contains adult language and situations. It is not suitable for younger or more sensitive listeners. Electracast.
Throw up all over my car and they did the car in my seat. That midget did all my drugs and he's screaming through the casino, "I won't come."
Hi, you're listening to Bodacious Minds, the show that empowers you in every way, from the personal to the professional, from the bedroom to the boardroom. Nothing is off limits. We talk about sex, relationships, money, spirituality, entrepreneurship, health, wellness, and yes, more sex. I'm your host, Yvette Lopez, a former Playboy, Maxim, and FHM model who is also a singer, compassionate healer, certified in energy work, and an entrepreneur in wellness and fashion. Welcome to our show.
Hi, Yvette. How are you?
Hi, Sasha. How are you doing?
Doing really well. I'm so happy to be on here with you.
Well, thank you for joining me and being bodacious this morning with us.
God, you know, it feels like it's been forever since I've last seen you. This whole quarantine thing is so brutal.
I know. It's been a little fucked up. I had such an amazing experience with it at the beginning, and then now it just feels like it's turning into the Twilight Zone.
I know. It feels like it's never ending, right?
I don't think it's going to, not at least for at least a couple of years. I think that we're kind of stuck doing this.
I think you're totally right, honestly. Okay, so we know for a fact that 2020 is shot. I'm a little concerned about 2021.
Well, I just need to get through this year first.
I know, right?
It's been, I've learned how to be a housewife, and that's most important, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, Yvette, as you well know, we all heard the news of Steve Bing on top of that. How are you doing with that?
I'm okay. You know, I have my moments. It was like losing my baby blanket. For those of you who don't know, a dear friend of mine, Steve Bing, took his own life about a week and a half ago. And there's so much to the story and our relationship and our friendship, but it's someone that I dated and I loved dearly. And I got to spend some time with him before he took his life. And it's still shocking. I still can't believe that it happened. And it's emotional and scary in many ways, and I'll just have to get into that with you at some point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can.
It's so surreal.
It's very surreal. I'd love to get your, you know, not your opinion, but your comfort in what I'm going through. And it's very confusing. I won't give it away right now, but the way we met and how our relationship evolved.
Yeah, you know, it just feels surreal to me because you literally just introduced him to me. And
I know, lucky you got to meet him.
I know, I did. And he was such a sweetheart, an absolute sweetheart. And so when I heard the news, I was just like, what? I just saw him. You know, just almost, it almost didn't like register in my brain what had happened. I mean, how did you meet him?
I met him through, with Heidi Fleiss, through Heidi Fleiss. Heidi Fleiss is one of my best friends. Uh-huh. And he and I and Heidi were inseparable. It's 20 years of friendship.
Now, when you're talking about Heidi Fleiss, are you talking about the same Heidi Fleiss that was termed the Hollywood Madam? Yeah.
Yes.
I was thinking, wait, I've heard that name. And in a very specific context.
Yeah, she was the Hollywood Madam. And I know I did not work for her. I would have been like 12. I wish I would have. she was good at her job. She and I have been working through this together. It's a big loss for both of us. There's good and bad to having Steve in our life. But right now it's just trying to get past, like I said, the fact that my baby blanket is gone.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, you knew him for how many years?
20 years.
A lifetime.
We were friends for 20 years. And in my life, no matter what, when, you know, it was no matter what relationship I was in, he was always there for me. And we were in love and at one point in our relationship, and he had proposed to me. And you know, it's a lot. There's so many reasons why I couldn't be with him, and I never healed from those reasons, and I stayed loving him for so long. Mm. And so having him not around, it's like I got to love him from afar, which is that understandable? Like,
yeah,
I
totally.
Even if I wasn't with him, I got to love him and the thought of him and the comfort of that, I guess, being in love with him.
You know, that makes a lot of sense to me, because you don't have to be with somebody to love them.
Yeah. It's not easy. That's for sure. I've had he's not the first man that I've dated that has taken his life. Mm. You know, I've had a few men that have passed away, and I've had another person that I was in love with who took his own life. And this one was really, I don't know, it just really affected me in many, many ways that I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
Actually, Heidi Fleiss is texting with us right now.
Is she?
Yeah, she knows it's our first day recording, so she just wanted to check in.
Oh, that's cool.
She's been super supportive, and our friendship has grown stronger since this has happened. And
hold on a second. She's calling right now.
You know, I know you and I have been friends for almost 20 years, or I think it might even be 20 years. Did you know that?
Isn't that crazy? God. Like, I looked in the mirror, I was 19. Where the hell does 50 come from? It's awful.
I'm telling you, Heidi, the one thing that gets uglier and uglier, and I hate to say this about myself, it's my fucking vagina.
But I won't look, so I don't care. But yeah, I just would not look, but... I don't know. These people that say the golden years, whatever, you know?
I don't get it. There's no such fucking thing. I piss myself when I cough. It doesn't make sense.
But you know what the truth is, though? Like, everyone always told us, oh, it goes by so fast, this and that. But you just never really pay attention to that.
No. I wish I would have, because it is going by pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah. You've had a beautiful life, and me too. I have to say, I've never really had a bad day.
Dude, I've had an amazing life. And knowing you, the day I met you, Heidi, it just changed my fucking world.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
I'm glad we met, because it's hard to find people that are genuine.
Yeah. What other people might find fucked up, to me, it's been the most beautiful times.
What they say is fucked up because they want to do it.
That's what I say. Jealousy, right?
There's no formula for a perfect person, and nobody knows what a perfect person is, because everyone's idea is different.
You know, I've always been taught myself. It's like, it's about decisions. It's like, how can I have made a wrong decision when it was my decision? Like, all of my decisions have been my decisions. And yes, there's consequences, but I'm not a fucking idiot. Like, I don't know. Everybody.
But how about this, Yvette? Can you imagine life with no problems? It would be awful.
Boring.
I love a challenge. I like, how can I get from A to C and I'm missing B? What am I going to do? You know,
I love that. Yeah, I don't want to skip B at all. I really, you know, all the things that I've gone through, that's one thing that you taught me. I mean, there's a lot of things that you've taught me. It's like, even when my father passed away and you told me, I was like, Heidi passed away at 54. And you go, he's very lucky. He's lucky he lived that long. And you changed the way I looked at death. I'm like, you're fucking right, dude. Like,
yeah, that was the only painful day of my life, was when my father died. I don't care. You too. I don't care what anyone says. Nothing in life can prepare you for that. There's nothing can prepare you for that moment when your father dies.
Yeah.
But when people say, I'm sorry your father died, I'm like, well, I'm not. It'd be worse if he was 120. My dad had the best life. I was so lucky, you know?
So lucky. He was an amazing man. I loved him. I was so grateful he was able to be my doctor when I was broke.
Yeah, I'm so glad you met him and everything. I was so lucky. And I did get the opportunity, thank God, to tell him, Dad, it's not your fault. I have had the best life. I did everything I wanted to do. And he was so relieved when I told him all that.
That's really sweet. You told him that before he passed?
Oh, yeah. Because before he died, he was hit by a car on his bicycle. Mm-hmm. He would go on these hikes with George DiCaprio, Leonardo's dad, a special hiking group in Griffith Park. And I guess he was hit by a car on his bicycle, broke his neck, but he lived through that. But then 6 months later, he died. It was too much for his body at 80 years old, you know?
Yeah, I remember when he passed. I'm so sorry I couldn't fly. I was broke and trapped with a man somewhere, and I couldn't make it to the funeral. And I know, I just, you've gotten me through a lot of really hard times.
Sometimes being broke is a lot of fun.
You know, that's what I was just going to say. I was broke as fuck in that nasty apartment. I met you and I moved on up, man.
But you know what? Like, if money was my objective, I would have been just filthy, filthy rich. It's never been my objective. It's always been happiness.
Yeah.
And that's what I have every day in my life. Not too many people can say that, you know?
Yeah, I know. You told me, I remember I had my Jeep and you were like, you don't need fancy cars, Yvette. You don't need all that stuff. Just make sure you're happy. And I was so fucking happy. And it made me realize that I didn't need shiny things to make my life better. I had amazing friends and amazing opportunities, you know? And so fuck it, you know, and amazing sex along the way.
You know, my friend called me. She's like, oh gosh. All day long, I'm digging through my vacuum, my trash, from my dining room earrings. Oh my God. I go, then why the fuck do you have them? You know? If you gotta spend your days worrying about if they're through them out or where they are, who gives a fuck? Get rid of it. I'm not spending my days worrying about these stupid diamond earrings. Come on.
That's so funny. It's so funny.
You know, and I've had every car you can think of, from a Morgan to a Corniche. I don't care. Whatever, you know what my favorite car is? Whatever I'm driving.
I don't even have a car right now.
You don't need one anymore. Uber's the best.
It really is. I get a kick out of the fucking... Well, sometimes I get a nasty-ass driver, but most of them are pretty, you know, decent.
Listen to this great Uber story. So I was leaving some, you know, nefarious activity in Los Angeles, and I'm getting my Uber. I'm not really looking up. And then I see him pulling over, like, somewhere a little, like, Westwood. I'm like, what the fuck? What are you stopping here from? And then a man is getting them. And it turned out to be, like, the catcher for the Dodgers. And I pressed Uber pool by accident.
Oh, shit. He was the passenger or the driver?
He got in as I pressed Uber pool, and I guess he did, too, by accident. But it turned out to be a great ride, but I was freaking out. Like, what the fuck are you picking up this guy for? I'm late, though, you know?
I love
it. I didn't know I pressed the Uber pool.
That's what I mean, like, the luck that we have, right? I find myself to be, like, the lucky charm as well. I always find myself in situations that I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. This can't happen to just
everyone. But everybody. You're happy. You laugh and smile about it, and that's why it's great. Other people are crying up a nervous breakdown.
They really do. I don't know. I've just... To me, as I get older, I'm cool with it. I just want to make sure that I continue to have my health. And I, you know what, Heidi, I don't want to be so fucking straight. That's the thing. It's like the thing about
being not
naughty.
You speak your mind. You know, you do what you want to do. That's one of the reasons I like you. And you can find happiness. You can be low rent and high rent. And that's awesome. Who wants to be around the people that are like, don't talk to me. I haven't had my coffee yet. I'm not down for that.
Yeah, me neither. I don't have any friends like that. You are the only person I've been talking to for the past several months, and I kind of got rid of everyone else.
Well, it sounds like you have a great husband.
He's so good. I can't wait for you guys to meet and play chess.
Yeah. Pretty soon.
Heidi, you were the chess champion of California, right?
Yeah, 13 and 14, 2 years.
Damn. That's how you did it.
And in prison, I won big bags of junk food.
I love that. You know, I was talking about it on my show. You know, you gave me the opportunity to work with animals, and you gave me that pet doggy hotel and grooming place. And you and I working together and having that together was so much fun.
Was so much fun. I wish that we could have really made it work, but both of us had a lot going on.
Oh, it was ridiculous. The guy I was with was cheating on me with another man. Remember that?
Yeah, he went off and got high with Parker. But you know what? If we were able to just buckle down a little bit, we would have really made a success out of it. But hey, it wasn't meant to be.
You never know, you know. I ended up opening the Pet Girl, and I had 19 girls working for me. But I don't know if you remember, but I called you and asked you, how do I run these women? And you told me, and I did. I took 35% of everything they made, and it kept growing and growing.
Yeah, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's been fun. And I just, you know, I brag about you a lot, because you're the only friend that I've had for that I can really call a friend. You know, I know that I can count on you and you don't judge me and you
help. Yvette, you came out here when I just got my birds. I was still learning all about them. I was so green at the time. And you spent those 3 days. I remember I was high and we made us, I mean, to help me take all the furniture out of the house and bleach the whole house down.
Yeah,
we did. And we were too tired to put anything back in. That was so much fun. And for that, you'll always be in my life till the day I die.
Dude, you woke up with my chihuahua on your head and I woke up with a bird on my head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was awesome. It was fun. I'm so glad you're moving to Vegas. It's going to be so much fun. And I'm right about to accomplish my goals and it's going to be awesome.
How did you get into the bird rescue, Heidi?
Well, look it. When I was 13, I remember reading like an adult book about macaws, like a doctor wrote it or a scientist. Mm-hmm. But I never really paid attention, but I remember reading that book. Then when I moved to Nevada, it was to get in the sex business. Mm-hmm. But just my luck, I rented some house. I didn't just any house, but next door was like this really weird like trailer that they said a madam lived in that used to run the exotic bird department for the Tropicana Hotel when they had a bird show. Mm-hmm. And I had no interest in meeting some retired old madam. But eventually I went in and I met her and she was awesome. Like her sugar daddy was Colonel Sanders. How cool is that?
Oh, shit. Was this Madam Alex?
No, this is Marianne.
Oh, shit.
And then she had sent girls to Howard Hughes. Like, she was way before her time.
Wow.
But from running that bird show, she had all the birds in her trailer, but they were in those big cages with those Frankenstein scary bolts. It was really creepy. And when she died, she said, Heidi, you take care of the birds. I just told her no. Hmm. But I wound up with just, I only have one bird from her left, but now I have over 36 macaws, and it's been a really challenging, lonely, and riveting journey.
It's a difficult one. I know being there, and they're very lucky to have you, but that is a hard job.
The way these animals suffer is so unfair. It's so unfair that this has never been addressed, and I never thought I would be the one to do it, but that's fine. And it should have, if they were endearing like dogs or exotic like a giant manta or elephant, this problem would have ended long ago. But people go, they're just birds. Oh, yeah, someone else will do it. Well, I'm the someone else.
Yeah. You know? No, it's good.
But I feel sorry for the birds because I go, you guys, I'm sorry. I'm not a likable person. A likable person would make much more progress, you know?
No, you're likable. It just, you know, we're a different flavor. That's all.
Yeah, well, I'm right about to make it happen in Las Vegas. The day you called ticked off the whole roller coaster. So,
well, good. So I'm glad. Exciting. Hopefully, I have my good energy because I'm having some good shit happen right now. So, hopefully, it'll help with you
and call me with your show anytime. I'll give you good interviews, whatever you want. Yeah,
I appreciate you taking the time, and you know, I wanted to talk to you if we can, and you don't mind. You know, there was a couple of things like now talking to you about the birds and the madam. Is it that madam that helped you decide to go into sex?
No, no. Oh, no. I'm just jinxed, cursed with madams. No. But when I was 19, I had an older boyfriend because I like older men. Maybe I have an old soul, but older men are attractive. But this guy looked like Santa. He was really old. From traveling with him, he was probably the smartest man I ever met. Like, his home in Geneva was on Lake Geneva.
Wow.
And Napoleon built for Josephine.
Wow.
Pierre Cartier. It's in the Pierre Cartier Museum, lived there. That's the kind of money we're talking about. Insane. So from him, I was entered a whole new world, and I saw older rich men and the role women played. But I didn't quite work out the business aspects until back in Los Angeles, born and raised there. You know, Palm Springs was the spring break in place to go. We'd all go to Jerry Buss. You know, he's the guy that used to own the Lakers.
I dated Jerry Buss for a couple of years.
Oh, awesome. You would. He had the finest taste. Yeah. Of course he would. Okay, so from Jerry Buss, he owned this great hotel in Palm Springs called the Ocotillo. Everyone cool would be at the Ocotillo, and I'd look out by the pool, and there's always, you know, that one group of girls who had a little better suntan, a little more jewelry, a little fancier cars, you know, that group.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's the deal? And someone would be like, oh, they work for Madame Alex. Okay. And then you'd be at the Beverly Center and there'd be a group of girls who are carrying way more shopping bags and way more fancier clothes. Oh, yeah, those girls work for the Madame Alex. So I always heard about her, but I never I hadn't met her yet. And then I was dating a guy. I answered the phone at his house and he was like, is the Alex? Is Yvonne there? And I was like, oh, my God, is that the Alex? He's like, yes. So for sure, I was like, yeah, I want to meet her, you know? And
yeah.
That's how it all started.
Well, God, lucky. I wish I would have met Adam Alex. Is it true that some of your girls would make like $1 million for a blowjob?
Yeah, but you know what? The money has nothing to do with it. Look, if you have a few hundred million, you think that 500,000 matters? Do you think 5 million? Do you think 10 million? None of that matters.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And these people, when they're asleep, they make 30, 40 million when they're sleeping at night. So it has nothing to do. People are always shocked, like, wow, $1 million of blowjob. But they're not looking at the proper context of the situation.
What is that?
Well, it's like if someone's calling me and says, do you have someone I can get a quick blowjob and only be a few minutes for $300? Hell no, because I don't care whether it's, you know, overnight or three minutes. It's still, you know, you're paying me $2,000 because it's my time and it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take in context how rich the person is. Like, look, if you tip someone 20 cents, is it going to bother you? Is it going to change your life?
No.
If you tip them 2,000, it's not going to change your life.
No.
But to somebody else, it might, and it might seem a huge amount. To the people I dealt with, 5 million, 100 million, 200 million is not going to matter in their life.
Wow. Wow.
And that's all it was.
That's, I was lucky, 10 grand, I thought 20 grand was a lot for 1 hour. Fuck, those were the days. Even my mom says, man, I wish Heidi would hire me to work for her. I'm like, she doesn't do it anymore. I'd be working.
How about that guy gambling in the private room?
Which guy?
We went to Vegas.
The one I slapped with the bloody tampon.
Did you know this guy's, he's been giving you you knew him for years.
Oh, yes, 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 Bart.
Yeah, that was a good one, but I don't know why he wants to gamble in a private room. That was boring as fuck.
It was so boring, but he'd gamble like $1 million and I'd walk away with at least 40, 50 grand a night.
That was awesome, but I wish he had won that night. I remember the other night, we both woke up 3 days later, like, what the fuck happened? And there was throw up all over my car and no debit card. And that midget did all my drugs and he's screaming through the casino, I won't come.
You remember he ran his little scooter into the machines and he fell over and we all had to run because I slapped the guy with the tampon, the one that wouldn't leave me alone.
Oh my God. So I remember he asked me for drugs and I said, please, I just have a little bit. Do not do them all. He went in the bathroom, he came out and he's screaming, I need cough. I need cough. And I was like, oh my God. That was insane.
We were the traveling circus.
Yeah, and I remember 3 days later, I was like, what hotel? What happened? Where did all our money go? Where are we? And there was throw up all over my car.
We had to look for his scooter, look for the car. We had to find food.
I had no debit card. I didn't have money to get home.
We had no money.
I had to borrow money from someone to get home, to get gas to get home.
You also had to borrow money to give me the money to get home.
Oh, my God. That was crazy. It was so much fun.
Oh, my God. Too much fun. That's the thing is this is fucking I have had so much fun in my life that like nothing, I feel like everything else is so goddamn boring.
It won't be. But I'm going to make this thing work next weekend. I'm going to be moving to that and live at that rescue.
I want you to be there. I need to be around you more. If not, I'll
be in
Toronto.
No, I need your help. Watch, you're changing the world. Look at, I see myself as the same as Susan B. Anthony, Cesar Chavez, and Martin Luther King. That's the route I'm following. These birds need to be free. Their subjugation is just as important and should never be minimized. And I'm not a quitter and I'm going to accomplish this. I'm almost there.
Any way I can help you, I'm down when it comes to animals, my God.
Oh, it's going to be so beautiful. Watch, I'm going to make this place so incredible.
And just to have you in Vegas is going to be just...
We're going to have so much fun. And you look at it, freeing the birds. They're sitting in these cages. They're only for people.
I know. It breaks my heart.
Of all things to stick in a cage, a bird.
I know. I know. I can't wait to come out and see how you've changed things. Last time I was at your house, you had fucking lions and baby lions.
Those are my friends.
Yeah. And yeah. He had baby white tigers and I got to hold the babies and you had them in your backyard.
We went by my friends. He was staying for a minute.
Uh-huh.
I forgot about that. Carl's staying here. Yeah. His attorney wife was breaking up with them. So he's like, Heidi, or my lawyer wife is bringing up with me. I got to stay there for a few days. And he was here like 3 days and he bought some $1 million house, you know?
Yeah, yeah. He had stayed in touch with me for a minute. But man, holding baby white tigers in your house with parrots flying around.
That's so crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so much fun.
I'm all about the birds' freedom, though. It'll be so beautiful. I'm going to make this place where people can come eat lunch and watch them fly free as they should. So people don't have to spend $50,000 for those guided trips to go around the equator anymore. They could come right to Las Vegas and make it happen.
Vegas needs something like that.
You go to Vegas and you can go to Paris and Vienna, Italy, London. So you can go to Vegas and you can go to the equator too and see the birds fly.
There you go. Yeah, we have Egypt there too, right? The pyramid.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So this is right in perfect. And look, after I get this done in Vegas, I'm going to go to Arizona, then Utah, then California, then Washington, and across the whole U.S. I'm going to complete the whole journey.
I love it. I'll be right there with you.
Yes, for sure. I need your help.
I love it. I don't know. I just can't. I know I'm really into the, you know, dog rescue, but then I started to branch out and I was rescuing horses and turtles and snails.
I can't do that though. I'm only macaw. I only can focus on the macaws.
It's important to do that. It's important to be focused. Yeah. You know, they don't have many people fighting for their lives.
Nobody, people are rescuing them. They put them in paired prisons. Nobody is trying to give them freedom. Oh, nobody.
Breaks my heart. Well, whatever we have to do, whatever dicks we have to suck.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know what? In Oregon, the head of the Audubon contacted me about something going on. I go, is the judge single? Is he single? I go, let me, you know, come on. I know how to handle this.
You got me. You're number one, girl.
You're awesome.
You know, I just wanted to get one more thing in. I just wanted to ask you, like, how are you doing with Steve's death?
He was one of the biggest parts of my life, and he absolutely was, for sure, the biggest disappointment. And I probably will have to tell the whole story in its entirety just to liberate myself from the mistakes I made along the way.
Mm-hmm.
What a fucking asshole. I knew it. He doesn't owe me money because he was born with financial independence. And he doesn't owe me money for friendship. He owes me for taking advantage of me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these people I introduced him to that were a big part of his life and got millions of dollars, and then he stiffs me in the end.
You know, I feel the same way. I'm confused about it. And I was also like abused and taken advantage of, but then I was like in love and loved.
Yeah, when I see you, I'll show you the text about you. It'll give you peace of mind. You'll like it.
He said something nice.
Of course.
Yeah. He's, you know, we always said we loved each other.
In the text messages, you can tell he was disengaged. But when I brought you up, you can tell by the text he was engaged. So it'll make you feel good.
That will. I would love to see that. Yeah, you know.
But in the end, Yvette, the truth is, Steve was only about Steve. And nobody led a more selfish life than Steve. And that's why he was most engaged then, because I made it about him.
You made it all about him. You guys, it was having a big brother and a big sister. And when you guys would fight, it was so stressful. But I saw how abusive he could be.
Yeah, you saw what he would do to me. Because he hated, you saw the complexities, you know, but hell.
I know. And then he did it to me. So I know your truth is real. You know, a lot of people will say we're liars, but you and I spent the most time with him. Okay. I disappeared for a while because I didn't want him to know where I lived. I had gotten to a point where it was emotionally and physically making me sick.
Oh, yeah. Like when we had the big fight in the middle of the street and I got out of the car, he wanted me to go knocking on your door and you're in there with your boyfriend.
Yeah, he would show up at the weirdest times.
Yeah, you're in there with your boyfriend and you told me it was not a good time and he was trying to make me do it. We had a big fight. I got out of the car.
Yeah, well, God, I'm telling you, it's been a roller coaster of emotions because I have anger at him. You know, I saw him right before he had passed away, and he told me he loved me.
I have the text. I have all the texts about you. You'll like it.
And he, you know, and then I was just, I'm shocked. But you know, Heidi, it was like losing my baby blanket, but yet it's such a freedom.
No, but he was already, Yvette, he was long gone.
His brain
deteriorated. He's shooting up drugs. He's believing in the devil and the weirdest shit. His brain just deteriorated. You cannot be injecting meth like that and think at the rate he was doing it, you know, because he's rich. So the way his brain just collapsed on him. So it was not the man you're thinking of at all.
I know. He changed. When I saw him, it was a conversation you couldn't even really have with him. He was like, he was very nervous and uncomfortable. There was a lot there that not many people know, and it's just the craziest thing. Yeah. And I just feel like when I talk about it, you're the only one I can really talk to about how I feel, because how does anybody else understand this stuff? Do you think he planned his death?
Of course, we talked about it. He almost jumped about 8 years ago.
Wow.
In January, when we were driving to Palm Springs, I said, see, suicide, you really hurt the living. It really fucks him up, and it's not fair. Okay, and then he goes, he listened, he goes, yeah, but how do you know? Like saying that, oh, the spirit stays alive, you know?
Oh, God. He's resting, hopefully, in peace.
Yeah, totally. I have anger because I loved him, you know?
You did love him. You guys were a crazy duel, man. You know what? I used to always say, I've seen it all. And then I when I met Steve, it was like, no, I haven't.
And how about, like, you know, I went to his therapy. I went to therapy with him.
Oh, my God.
We even went to therapy together.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that funny?
I could, yeah, because you two together, I wish I could have seen that, because that would be.
And we had, of course, we had the big fight in front of the therapist, you know. And because the therapist was a weirdo. He was just using Steve, and I knew it.
Yeah, God.
What kind of therapist lets your client shoot up drugs? You're not a good therapist then.
People just cared to know him and take his money. That was it.
Yeah, that's why everyone's, I love him. He's the greatest. Yeah, look at all the money you got out of him. No one else is giving away money like that. Of course you're going to love him.
Yeah, it's so true. Nobody gave a fuck.
You know what? If you gave a fuck, then you wouldn't take his money. That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody, I love him. He's the greatest. It's so sad. Really? If you loved him, he's the greatest, then why'd you take his money?
You're right.
You know?
You're right.
They're all fucking sellouts, all of them. I have no respect for any of those politicians or people at all.
It got really disgusting at the end, for sure. I appreciate you taking this call.
Yeah, call me anytime. Hopefully I won't let you down. I'll give you better.
You never let me down. Are you kidding me? And I'm going to be there in 4 weeks, Heidi.
Oh, we're going to have so much fun. I can't wait.
I know. I can't wait.
Okay.
All right,
thank
honey.
Thank you.
I love you.
Bye. I love you too. Bye.
Thanks for listening, and thank you to my co-host Sasha Carrion and our surprise guest Heidi Fleiss. Audacious Minds is a production of Electracast Media. Our executive producers are Mark Netter and Peter Rafelson. Our editor is Chris Sousa. I'm your host and producer, Yvette Lopez. If you liked our show, please subscribe and give us a rating wherever you enjoy podcasts. And always remember, be smart, be sexy, own it. On the next episode of Bodacious Minds, join me and my guest host Sasha Carrion as we talk with somatic experiencing practitioner Brian Mahan about overcoming sexual trauma and finding profound and long-lasting healing. Electracast.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electricast. Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together, we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.